Clear FM at 103.5 in Santa Rosa and 94.5 in Petaluma.
Hey, Mike, that's us.
Wow.
Bye.
See you in 2 weeks. Cam, take care, buddy. Okay. Joining us right now, my new therapist, Harold Kelso, president of the California State Letter Carriers Association. I've been flipping out so much about the USPS and the November election, but Harold comes on and tries to calm me down. Embattled Postmaster Nimrod Lewis DeJoy reversed course today, saying that all the changes being made to the Postal Service would be suspended until after the November 3rd election. Harold, thanks for coming back with me, Doctor.
Hey, Steve. Thanks. This is our weekly appointment, isn't it?
Yeah, basically. Mike, write a check for $200 for Harold, because I think that's what he's charging these days. Okay, now here's...
In lieu of that, maybe you guys could give me my own show there.
Sure. Well, you're in Sacramento, aren't you?
No, actually I'm in Southern California.
Oh. How's the weather down there?
It is like 108 degrees.
Oh.
I'm in the part of the state called the Inland Empire.
Right.
San Bernardino County.
Oh,
yeah, it's a scorcher out here.
It's only 100 here, so.
Oh boy. But that's unusual for you guys, isn't it? That hot?
Oh, yeah. It really is.
Yeah.
You know, we've had the thunderstorms and lightning and all sorts of mayhem, and now we got fires again in August, and it's way early in the fire season, so all hell's breaking loose, which is why I need my therapist. But let's talk about this. We had Congressman John Garamendi on earlier, and of course, Nancy Pelosi has called the House back. They're going to be voting on this bill on Saturday about the USPS situation. And one of the things I asked the congressman was, what about the stuff that Louis DeJoy has already done? Is he going to replace that? I mean, there's... Pete, help me out here. I mean, you know, the sorting machines, the mailboxes.
The lack of overtime. Basically, the one of the most surprising things is that the post office usually had kind of like a standing rule, and correct me if I'm phrasing this wrong, Harold, is that at the end of the day, when you went home, the mail all was gone. It all went out. And now the directive is basically like, hey, you know, you go home, and who cares if there's 40,000 letters littering the floor?
Yeah, so do you know?
You are 100% correct.
Yeah, okay.
The old motto used to be, everything goes every day. You're correct.
Mm-hmm. So are they going to restore any of this equipment and mailboxes and such, or are they just stopping taking them?
Well, that's the question. I'm encouraged, and I'm heartened by the statement that the Postmaster General released this morning, that he's ending a lot of these practices that he claims were started or planned before he even took office as Postmaster General.
Oh, bull!
I don't know whether that's factual or not.
Yeah.
But I mean, there are... In the usual maintenance of the Postal Service and of routes and of processing mail, they do remove collection boxes that do not get a lot of traffic
for one reason
or another.
Yeah.
Okay. And they do remove machines or decommission machines that they feel are redundant. The problem here is the timing of this and the scope of it, the volume of all that they've removed and decommissioned.
Right.
It's very suspicious, taking place so close to the election. That's a nice conciliatory statement that the Postmaster General made, but you've noted, as I've noted, that there's nothing in the statement about replacing the things that have been taken away.
Right.
I also want to tell you that our members in the offices, individual offices, and in the plants are going to be vigilant and make sure that the things are being put back the way they were before, as the postmaster stated in his statement. As the saying goes, this is not our first rodeo. We like to take him at his word, but we're going to verify. that his plan is being taken out in the individual offices.
All right. Well,
did you also talk with Congressman Garamendi about the Postmaster General testifying Monday on the 24th?
It came up, and apparently that is going to happen, which is going to be fascinating. But we've got like 20 states who are about to begin or have begun or did begun lawsuits against this situation.
Right, I think but Sarah, our Attorney General, is adding California to the lawsuit as well.
Yeah.
So the Postmaster General, in addition to the Chairman of the Board of Governors, Mr. Duncan, are both slated to testify.
And that's Monday, right?
That's Monday. And there's one question. And there's one question that, if I were there, I would pose to the Postmaster General. Where does he stand on the $25 billion of COVID relief that the House has earmarked for the Postal Service?
Right. And according to the House in D.C., that's part of their bill that they're going to be voting on Saturday, get that $28 billion or whatever it is back.
Right. That's part of the original bill, Steve. It's been sitting in the House. It was passed in the House all the way back on May the 15th. And sat in the Senate waiting for a Senate version, and Mitch McConnell went home to Kentucky.
Yeah, so, right.
Well, the thing is, Mr. Duncan, the head of the Board of Governors, is also going to testify. Now, that amount, $25 billion, that wasn't just an amount that was snatched out of thin air. That $25 billion is the amount that was recommended and endorsed by the Board of Governors. And the Board of Governors, you have six governors that were, all six were appointed by the president. Those six Board of Governors voted unanimously to pick the new Postmaster General. So in essence, the Board of Governors is the Postmaster General's boss. So the Postmaster General has been silent on the COVID relief fund for the Postal Service, completely silent. Haven't heard a comment about it at all.
Right.
Now, look at this scenario. You are a wealthy, successful CEO. You've been asked to take over a so-called struggling company and nurse it back to health. If someone offers you $25 billion, are you going to turn it down?
Well, I'm flush, so I probably wouldn't worry.
Yeah. So that's the question. That's the question I want to ask. I want to know where the PMG stands on COVID relief aid for the Postal Service, because I hope you and your listeners realize that is the main sticking point on getting relief for everybody else. That's what's holding up the second bill.
Right.
With the extension on unemployment insurance and aid to everybody else. This is what's holding everything up. So I think we may be moving in the right direction. Speaker Pelosi knows the urgency of moving this along. Remember, the Postmaster General wasn't scheduled to testify till September 17th.
Exactly.
So she's pushed it up.
Yeah.
She's pushed it up a full 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And she's ordered the representatives off their vacations, back to D.C., back to work. I don't think the Senate is coming back yet, although there are a lot of senators who are urging McConnell to call the Senate back in session to get a deal done. But that's where we're at now.
My colleague Pete Fapiano threw that question out to Congressman John Garamendi about
the senators. Yeah, my understanding is that many senators, primarily Republican ones, were pretty well deluged by seniors and others who were saying that you know what you're doing is, I get my prescriptions by mail. You are imperiling my health. Yeah, I know a lot of people who do. So if you are threatening that, you're literally threatening a lifeline. And I think that kind of shocked a few people to think that, well, wait a minute, maybe there's more bad than good that's going to come out of this. And I still think that this the voter suppression of the notion of trying to prevent those who, let's say, are elderly or infirm or whatever from having to go stand in line for 8 hours a day, many of those elderly people voted for Donald Trump 4 years ago. And if you make it harder for everybody to vote, you might lose some of your own votes, not just Democratic votes.
And that's the part that upsets me the most, is the delaying of the medicine. The vote-by-mail question could be sorted out and handled fairly easily. But what upsets me and what upsets my members who are delivering mail every day and know their elderly customers and know their infirm customers, the withholding of medicine is not only bad business, it's immoral. It's immoral by my way of thinking.
I agree. I agree.
But the pressure has come to bear on the Republican senators, and we have some that are wavering. Mitt Romney is one who's come around. Steve Daines up in Montana has come around. The two Republican senators in the state of Alaska have come around. These states like Alaska and Montana that are sparsely populated,
right,
they rely more on reliable postal service than a state like California.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a lifeblood to them. Here in California, if you're near an urban area, you could have half a dozen different delivery services bring you something. Not so up in Alaska. Not so in Montana.
Yeah.
It's not cost-effective for these private services to deliver up there. They hand everything off to the post office, and we're glad to serve the public. This is America's post office. This is not my post office. This belongs to all of us.
Yeah, and you know, the thing that also just jumped out at me over the last few weeks is that this guy, I just call him the Nimrod, but he has put a lot of money into companies, organizations that are basically
the competitors to the
competitors
post office.
To the post office, including Amazon and others.
Well, the biggest misstep he made there was he bought stock in Amazon.
Yeah.
After he assumed the position of Postmaster General. The other investments he had were before he took the position over, and you're given a reasonable amount of time to disperse with those or put them in a trust. But after becoming Postmaster General, he decided to invest in Amazon, which is an obvious.
Yeah, I know. It's obvious. I know what you're saying.
That coupled with the fact
it drives me speechless. But it's because of his purchase of Amazon stocks that the House of Representatives have requested that the Postal Inspector General look into this transaction. So that's where he's at. He's obviously, by the statement he released in there, he's feeling the heat. And I think most of the heat has come to bear upon him, not by Congress, but by the public.
Yeah, I agree. And he's such a longtime supporter who has given millions and millions of dollars to the Trump campaign. And I mean, this is just one of the most amazing things I've ever heard. But you're going to talk me down. I think you already have, Harold. I'm feeling slightly better.
Before I go, let's talk vote by mail really quickly here.
Yes, please.
Even if these machines are not returned and the collection boxes are not returned, the Postal Service is still fully capable of delivering all of these ballots safely and securely to the voters, and after they vote, returning them back to the registrar of voters.
Well, see, when you and I talked last week, I said, well, yeah, I'm not worried about California. It's the other stuff.
Yeah, I'm concerned about states like New York.
Yeah.
That aren't as experienced in doing the vote-by-mail thing, but they're not. California's doing all 100% vote-by-mail. There's ballots going out to every single person registered to vote.
Right.
Nevada is emulating what California's done. They just passed the law.
Good.
Nevada's doing the same thing. These other states are not are not going in whole hog on vote by mail. But in the last primary election, the recent primary election of New York, they had so many vote by mail ballots, it took them weeks before they could declare a winner in some of their congressional races. They're just not as experienced and not as sophisticated as a state like California is in the way they handle vote-by-mail ballots. The Secretary of State has a system called Track My Ballot Now, where in California, after you vote, you can go onto the website, enter your name, your birth date, and contact information, and you can track where your ballot's at.
Cool.
If you haven't received it yet, you can track where is it. After you voted, you can track where it is. And California, I'm 100% sure there's not a problem. It's some of the other states that I do have a concern over.
Including Michigan, my home state.
Including Michigan. But according to the statement by the Postmaster General, they are forming some sort of task force with the Postal Service, with the state, the Secretary of State, with the voter of registrars, various voter of registrars, and with the unions attempting to come up with, I don't think you can have a one-size-fits-all because all states, their deadlines are completely different.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
They worry about the, there's certain states down in the South where they actually allow you to request your ballot within the last week before the election, just the request for the ballot. Now, it's going to take time for that request to get into the registrar's office. Then it's going to take time for the registrar's office to send you your ballot back. Then it's going to take time for you to vote and send your ballot back in. 1 week is cutting it way too close.
Yeah.
And I think that's the heads up that the Postal Service is trying to give these states, that you need to adjust the deadlines that you're setting for the mail-in ballots, and things could work out a lot cleaner, a lot smoother. Like I said last week to all of our listeners in California, October 20, have October 20 as your target date to get that ballot in.
So when am I going to get my ballot in the mail?
From what I understand,
or is
go out
Nimrod, what's his name, going to stop it? I don't know. I'm sorry.
From what I understand, in California, at least, ballots go out October the 5th.
Okay, cool.
October the 5th, within the first week in October, which is usual. That's par for the course.
So right? Grab your ballot, vote, and get it in quickly.
Right. If you get that ballot, which you should in the first week of October, you've got about 2 weeks to make your choices and pop it back in the mail by the 20th. The 20th is still 2 full weeks before Election Day. Those votes will not only be received by the registrar voters, they will already be tabulated by the registrar voters. They don't hold those up and count them after the election, not the early vote-by-mail ballots. It's only the later ballots that they receive are the ones that are taking up so much time after Election Day to tabulate. So the other benefit of voting early is, if you somehow make a mistake on your ballot, maybe you didn't sign it, you neglected to sign the envelope, or your signature, for some reason, doesn't match the signature you gave 30 years ago when you originally registered to vote. If you vote early enough, that gives the individual registrar's time to notify you that there's something wrong with your ballot,
right,
and you have an opportunity to correct it. So I'm fully confident in California. It are some
so am I.
Pause on this. Yeah.
I'm just worried about everybody else.
Yep. So unfortunately, the president has done a disservice to his party by telling them that voting by mail was crooked or not fair,
right,
because that has stopped many Republicans in Florida, North Carolina, and Ohio from requesting the vote-by-mail ballot. In those three states, I believe for maybe the first time ever, in those three particular states, all battleground states, by the way, for the first time, Democrat requests for vote-by-mail ballots are outpacing the Republican requests for vote-by-mail.
Yeah.
So, in essence, he's already put himself behind in those three states. And I think the Republican Party is upset because in a state like North Carolina, they've got a highly contested Senate race there, too. So, you know, the timing by the Postmaster General of removing the boxes and removing the machines is suspicious. But then when the president weighs in with his comments, everyone's antenna goes up that there's something wrong here.
Right.
And that's where we're at now. The media has taken this story and they've run with it. I haven't seen the Postal Service talk about this much literally in 50 years.
Yeah, you mentioned that last week.
Yeah.
Harold Kelso, our great friend, president of the California State Letter Carriers Association. We're out of time, sir. Thank you so much. Steve. We'll talk next week, man.
You bet. You guys stay safe.
You too. Let's check in with Christopher Godley, the